scripture this morning is from John 4:10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water."
Good morning.
Happy New Year. Well, say it like you mean it. Happy New Year. My, oh my. You know, I haven't seen you since last year. I've missed you. You know, you can only say those jokes once a year, so take advantage of it when you can. Let's see, are we working? There we go. Last Sunday, we talked about the gifts, talked about the traditions around the gifts that we give with the holiday seasons, and I asked you to do some homework, to study and read about spiritual gifts, the gifts that God has given us. And I asked you to look at Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 would be another passage that we would want to look at there in regards to the gifts that God has given us through Jesus, maybe is the way that I should say that. We are given so much by God. It's just amazing. And I want us to focus on this. And I think it's very appropriate that this is the first day of a new year and we think about this. How many of you made any New Year's resolutions? I saw a couple of hands go up. How many of you are lying about it? You know, it's kind of a common thing this time of year to make those resolutions. And I've made a couple of them myself and will be working on them. But, you know, if you're one of those people that, you know, is kind of into that, I'd like you to consider that maybe one of the resolutions that we need to make this year is to consider the gifts that God has given us. And one of the points that I made last week, and I want to reiterate it this morning, is what good is a gift if we don't unwrap it? If we don't unwrap it. And I want us to make it very clear that we have all been gifted by God. So we just need to take that argument away. As we talk about these spiritual gifts, you cannot claim, unless you want to argue with God, and then that's just a different matter, and we have elders available for your counseling. Because if you're going to argue with God, you're going to need some counseling. But the bottom line is God has blessed us all with some unique, unique to the church, maybe unique to the world, but not unique to the church. He has blessed us with some gifts. And so I just want to make these points here very quickly this morning. First of all, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "Now to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines." Each one. That even includes Dan. Each one, okay? And we know Dan has been blessed with some gifts. He truly has. And we recognize that in this congregation. But each one of us has been blessed. Not just Dan, but all of us have been blessed. And there's a purpose for that. According to Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. And this point was made, too, in our discussion on Wednesday night. I took advantage of Sam having the flu, and we talked about spiritual gifts on Wednesday night. And the point was made, and I want to emphasize this as well, when we talk about the gift that we've been given from God, it's probably plural, and we need to understand that. We have probably been blessed in multiple ways when it comes to the idea of spiritual gifts. So, thinking about that, what are those different ways in which God has gifted you? According to Ephesians 4, verses 7 and 8, again, that each one, and notice how I've highlighted those in the slide behind me, because I want to emphasize that, and we're going to come back to that as we wrap up the lesson today. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Now, how do we know what these gifts are? How do we know what these gifts are? Well, one of the ways to know what these gifts are that God has blessed you with is to simply think about what you like to do and what you're good at. These are excellent indicators of how God has blessed you in your life. Now, we talked about this passage also, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And I think it really speaks to this idea of helping our children to identify what their gifts are. Proverbs 22:6 says, basically, raise a child, bring up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that. We talked a lot about that again on Wednesday night. And the point that I made on Wednesday night that I want to share with us again is, most of the time when we consider this passage, we think about it in a spiritual context. The idea that when we raise our children in the church, they will remain faithful to God the rest of their life. Now, I don't think that's an inaccurate truth necessarily, and there's certainly other scriptures that certainly teach us that. But I'd like to suggest to you that that's not really the main purpose of what Proverbs 22:6 is saying. Because if it were, consider this, just consider this, and this is my opinion, my observation here for your consideration. If that's the main focus of what Proverbs 22:6 says, in light of one of the things we lament in the churches of Christ, the losing of our children, is that passage really true? Because if it really is only about those spiritual things, then it means that the churches of Christ are full of terrible parents. And I don't believe that that's true at all. I don't believe it at all. What I think that passage is really emphasizing is that when we find out how God has blessed our children, how God has gifted our children, and we encourage them to use God's blessings in their lives, they will live happy, fulfilled lives. And I think there is some spiritual connotation in that. And so we need to not only help discover these gifts in ourselves, but as parents, we need to realize how important it is to help our children discover the ways that God has blessed them in their lives so that they can grow up to be successful and prosperous and most of all, happy and content with the decisions that they make in their lives to be responsible adults, how they connect in this world. Going on, how do we know what these gifts are? Others often help us to understand what our gifts are. When we hear other people saying things to us and praising us for the things that we do and saying, man, you really do that well. Or when people ask us to help with certain things, that also might be an indication that they see in us the ability to do certain things and strengths in our lives. And they want to take advantage of those at particular times. And that's a good thing. But another way that we might figure out what our spiritual gifts are, and you know, for some of us, let me back up a little bit and say, for some of us, it might be rather obvious. But I've learned that a lot of people struggle with this question, what your spiritual gift is. And one of the ways to do that is to take a spiritual gifts inventory or assessment. And I did a lot of searching on the internet this last week looking for various ones. I used to have some in my library and I didn't have any at this time. And I thought, well, I can find everything else on the internet. And sure enough, I found lots of spiritual gift inventories on the internet. And I want to tell you about one. And I want to encourage you to check it out. Now, all you have to remember, and remember, these PowerPoints will get on the on our church website so you can get this information. But if you just remember the highpointchurchofchrist.org and put that in your browser, it'll take you there. And I found a very useful inventory, a spiritual gifts inventory or assessment, whatever you want to call it, on their website, the highpointchurchofchrist.org. And about on the top third of that opening web page, you'll find a little menu bar. And if you look there for the spiritual formation and click on that, then you'll see the strength and spiritual gifts assessment. Now, if you forget all that, email me and I'll be glad to send that to you. Or if you have problems with it, email me or give me a call and I can help you with that. What you will get when you download that is an Excel PowerPoint. And that PowerPoint, or an Excel spreadsheet. On that spreadsheet, the first thing you'll find is 140 questions. It sounds like an awful lot. But in order for it to be a good inventory, it's got to ask a lot of questions. And the key to doing an inventory like this well is to go through the questions quickly. Read the question. You'll be guided to give a numbered response, 1 through 5. And you need to know before you start what 1 represents and what 5 represents so that you can quickly decide, oh, that's a 3, that's a 4, that's a 1, that's a 1, there's a 5, there's a 5. And just respond as quickly as you can to those 140 questions. And it really won't take you that long. When you're done with that, then, what this little spreadsheet will do for you, follow the instructions. They're pretty plain there. And if you've never worked with a spreadsheet before, just follow the instructions carefully. It will then go ahead and take your raw score from all of those questions and give you a score, a rating, if you will, on several spiritual gifts. And it will give you your top 5. And as it does that, it's going to give you some information. Let me just click to one. You'll see, for example, maybe one of your spiritual gifts is encouragement. And so it will show you what your score is between a 0 and a 5 in the area of encouragement. And it will rate all the spiritual gifts that this particular survey is using. It will give you... Somebody put some butter on that. It'll tell you what your top 5 spiritual gifts are. And that's just a wonderful tool. I've taken a lot of spiritual surveys or inventories like this over the years. And in fact, people who do a lot of work with this suggest that you do it a couple of times over the years to kind of stay on top of it. Because I think you'll realize that as you grow, your gifts may change. And gifts can be developed, and it's kind of interesting to see where you're at. And as you, if you're really curious about this, go out there and find on the internet and find some other spiritual inventories and take them and compare them. Something else that's kind of nice to do with this is after you get that information and see your scores and reflect and assess on what this little inventory tool is telling you, it's kind of nice sometimes to take it and show it to somebody and say, is this me? To get some other eyes looking at it and see, you know, do you agree with this? Is this a pretty good assessment of me? Because, you know, we need those other people sometimes to weigh in to help us do a good evaluation of that. Okay. Enough about that. I hope you'll check that out. Again, just remember highpointchurchofchrist.org and you can find this particular assessment. Now, when you go through that assessment, you're going to find, and as you study this, let me say this too. I found this pretty interesting. I could not find necessarily one particular list. Well, I shouldn't say that. I found a lot of different lists on spiritual gifts. It was kind of interesting, the different things that people would list as spiritual gifts. Now, there were a lot of things like encouragement that seemed to come up on all the different lists. So I found that kind of interesting that there's not one necessarily all-inclusive list. But I wanted us to go through some of the things that we might find on a spiritual gift analysis or inventory to kind of think about these things for ourselves personally, but also to think about our congregation this morning, to think about where are we? And are we ready to serve God in 2012 with everything that He has blessed us with? Well, again, one of the things that you might find is the gift of encouragement. I think encouragement speaks for itself. You know those people that just always make you feel good and excite you and have positive things to say. Those are significant people in our lives. And imagine if everybody that had that gift was fully utilizing that gift, what a different community that we could create. Another spiritual gift that's pretty obvious is leadership and how important that leadership is. Ephesians 4, as I pointed out, is one of those important passages in the New Testament in regards to spiritual gifts. I think really focuses on the importance of those leadership gifts that are so important for the church. But we need those men and women. Women can also have this gift of leadership that help us to be focused, that help us to make sure we're going in the right direction, and that we are indeed serving God with all the things that we put our resources to. You know, evangelism is one of those things that we need to realize we are all called to do that. And I think it's important to make this point. As we look at these various spiritual gifts, I think we need to realize to some degree, as children of God, these should really be characteristics to some degree that describe all of us. And I think it's important to understand that. And along with that, then, we need to understand that what we're talking about, what I'm trying to talk about this morning in regards to spiritual gifts is where do you shine? Where do you excel? Where have you been given, if you will, an extra measure for the purpose of serving God's people? That's what we're really talking about, wanting to focus on as individuals. But a side note there, these are things that should be a part of all of our characters, all of these things to some degree. Because the Great Commission is given to all, not just to a few. But we do know there are people who excel in this area of evangelism. And I think one of the neat things about this that we need to understand as we explore these spiritual gifts, it's not only important for me to know what my spiritual gifts are, but it's important that I know what Jay's spiritual gifts are too. Because as I'm reaching out and working with somebody and they have a particular need that maybe I'm just not comfortable working with, or I don't know what to do, but I know Jay does. You see, maybe they're dealing with a death in the family or a terrible sickness in the family. And because I know of the spirit and the heart that Jay has and the work that he does, he's somebody that I could go to be counseled in that area, to help in that area. So not only is it a blessing for me to know what my gifts are, but it's a blessing for me to know what your gifts are too. Because we are to be working together as a team. And you know what team stands for, don't you? Together, everyone accomplishes more. That's what team really means. And it's so true. Another spiritual gift that we might find is administration, and more specifically on task. Now, this isn't administration in the sense of managing people, but the idea of organizing task and attention to detail and those things like that. When I think of a position like this, I think of a lot of the work that our deacons do, being very specific and attentive to specific details and responsibilities. Our church secretary, for example, would be another person that I think has this gift, that they're focused to detail and can get those little tasks done, sometimes big tasks done, that just need to be cranked out and taken care of with any group. Mercy, another gift here that might show the compassion that a person has on somebody who's in need, whether a member of the body or not. And I'd like to point that out too. When we talk about these spiritual gifts, I'm going to make the point that God has blessed us with these spiritual gifts, I think, for the main purpose of strengthening the body, but it doesn't stop there. It's about reaching out as well. And often that mercy might be reaching out to somebody who's in great need, but not necessarily a part of the body. Another gift is that gift of discernment. Being able to look beyond the facts that might be revealed, to be able to understand the real facts. I think this is one of those qualities that helps to make a brother a good elder in the church. Faith is another spiritual gift, believe it or not. And that might be an idea of one that wouldn't be on your spiritual gifts list, but it really is. Again, we all are required to have faith in order to be a child of God. But we know those people sitting among us this morning that just seem to have that extra measure of faith. No matter what happens in their life or in the lives of this body, they know without a doubt that God is still God, that He's still in charge, that He will take care of whatever the need is. And their faith is unwavering no matter what the world throws at us. You know, and that's just not true for all of us, is it? I mean, we all have faith to a degree, but to what degree? Another a spiritual gift that we come across is helping. Helping and service are two different types of spiritual gifts. Helping, might be, that person that is helping with the extra chores because somebody broke a leg and can't get the chores done. Or, what happened this last year when that mysterious windstorm came through and the extra work, the help that many of you provided to those who had damage, property damage because of that windstorm. That's the ministry of helping. And you know what? As soon as an event like that happened, people with this spiritual gift are immediately jumping up and getting it done. They're not getting up and scratching their heads and wondering, oh man, what can I do? They know what to do and they get it done. They're not just hoping somebody else will do it, but those blessed with this gift get it done. Wisdom is another spiritual gift. Just that ability to be able to know truly what God's directions is in the face of many options or choices. Wisdom. And then the next one up here is knowledge. That ability to be able to get into the books, to get into the Word, to study through things and find that information that's so important. You know, Ron's not here this morning, but he's one that I think of in regards to the spiritual gift of knowledge. Sam's another one that I think of as well. Men who take that time to study the Word, and how often in a Bible study, in a Sunday school class, we go to Ron or we go to Sam and say, well, we need some more information here. And don't you know they always have something to add to it, you know, because of that knowledge, the time that they take to do the study, to be able to amass that knowledge. Another spiritual gift is teaching. How many of you have ever been in a class with a bad teacher? They didn't have the gift, did they? And sometimes that's rather obvious. But the ability of taking God's Word or any information and helping people to understand that, that's the gift of teaching. You know, and I'd like to make this suggestion too. As I said before, I'm asking us to take some time to explore what our gifts are, to discover what our gifts are, and to make sure that we're putting them into use for the service of God with this new year ahead of us. But I want you to understand now, and when I went through my spiritual survey, this inventory from the highpointchurchofchrist.org, remember, when you go to that, it's .org, not .com, my top gifts were pretty obvious to me. I wasn't surprised by them. But my bottom gift really kind of shocked me. It was like, oh my, I'm not very good there, and that's an area I should be better in. And I'm not going to tell you what that is because I've made it a resolution this year to improve on that. That's one of my New Year's resolutions, is to take that bottom gift and bring it up in the list. But you see, my point is, I believe that I can do that. I can realize that there's an area in my life that I do need to be stronger in, and I can work on that. I remember when I was first a student at York College, a newlywed, and Tim Bruner, who's working again with York College, by the way, if you keep up on those things, he came to Kathy and I, and he says, well, we need some teachers. Well, Kathy, you know, that's one of her gifts, and she was, more than willing to do it. She's never said no when she's been asked to fill those responsibilities. And Tim looks at me and says, well, why don't you do it too? He says, oh, I can't teach. I've never done anything like that in my life. I didn't grow up even going to Sunday school. I really didn't have a good idea of what that meant to be a teacher of little children and teaching them those biblical things that I really didn't have a good understanding of myself as a fairly young Christian. But what I learned through that experience is that I was able to develop that skill, that talent in my life, to the point where I really think it is an area that God has blessed me in, and I hope you agree to somewhat, or this is just a terribly trying event for you this morning, and I apologize for that. Another gift that you might find on a spiritual assessment is that of giving. And this is a big one. Again, you might not think of that as being a spiritual gift because we are all commanded to give. And we practice giving and we create the opportunity by command every Sunday when we pass that plate. You know, that's an obligation. The spiritual gift of giving goes above and beyond that, though, and gives additionally. It's those people that have the ability and make it important to manage their money properly so that they can give, like to the orphanage or, you know, to sending a man to preacher school or the various things that we do and support here. Not everybody gives to those needs. Not everybody can. But guess who is? Those who are blessed with this gift. Missions is another spiritual gift. My brother-in-law, Jim Reppert, and Tom as well, are two men that I know who have this gift. And they just don't feel like they're doing anything for the Lord, especially Jim, unless they're in Africa working to plant churches and working with the lost. And it's amazing to think about all that they have to do and the sacrifices that they have to make. But they're so willing to do that. They're so willing to do that because they've been blessed with the gift. Another one is service, and I kind of referred to this one earlier. The idea of helping, pitching in to do the chores that need to be done. The idea of service kind of goes along the same way, but it's more about serving people. About serving people. Now, it's all about serving people, of course. Hospitality. Those people that just love to have their people in their homes. To entertain people, to make people feel comfortable, to make people feel welcome. Those people that are going to make sure when you are a visitor here that you are welcome, that your hand is shaken. I can remember when I first visited this congregation, I knew who the people were who were blessed with this gift because they were the first ones to come and greet me and to welcome me and to ask me, you know, what brings you here? And as I told them I was moving, they grabbed a few of the helping gifted people and unloaded my semi when it pulled in from Nebraska. So good stuff. Now, imagine a church where, let me get to my notes here. Imagine a church where, in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We need to remember that God has blessed us with the skills, the abilities, and the talents needed to serve Him through our service to each other. And not just in the family here, but I believe outside these walls as well. But it starts here. It definitely starts here. How would things be different if we were all using our gifts? Just think about all of those spiritual gifts that we just went through. And think about if everybody who were blessed in those ways were fully using those talents, those God-given talents. How would this body thrive more than it already is? How would this body grow more than it already is? Maybe I'm making an assumption here, so I'll just ask the question. Are we fully utilizing the gifts we've been blessed with? Yes or no? All right, so you agree with me. We're not. So would this be a good resolution for us to make as we begin 2012? That we figure out what those gifts are and we make sure that we're working in ways that God has blessed us. I'm not asking you, nor is God asking you to do anything you're uncomfortable with. And that's the point of these passages here. We are God's workmanship. He created us in Christ Jesus with some things in mind. Rudy, I want you to do this. And when you do this, it's going to be good for everybody. And not only that, you're going to be happy. You're going to be effective. You're going to be involved in an abundance of positive things. Now, isn't that what we all want? Well, please remember that that's God's plan. Imagine a church where Hebrews 13, may the God of peace who through the blood of the eternal covenant
brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God hasn't asked us to do anything without providing us with everything. So what happens if we don't know? Getting back to the question of the spiritual gifts. What happens if we don't know what our gift is? Well, one of the problems that I see is we can't be faithful with what God has blessed us with. And I think that's a problem. I think that's a sin. What happens if we don't know? Serving God becomes a miserable task. And serving God should not be a chore. We got to be careful that we do not force people to do things that they're not comfortable with. That we don't force people to do things that God hasn't equipped them to do. Sometimes we do that. And we drive people away when we do that. When we don't know what our gift is, I believe our service to God, the joy that should be found in serving God, is stolen from us. Again, I think about that lesson in Proverbs 22:6. When we don't help our children to figure out how God has blessed them and equipped them to live productively in this world, we've set them up for failure. We've set them up to be miserable. But worse than all that, what happens if we don't know? The body suffers. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 12 here. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How can you do your work if you don't know what it is? And your work is defined with how God has blessed you. And what that means, remember, is that God has not asked us to do anything without first equipping us with everything we need to do it. Now let's take a closer look at this problem. A closer look. Using our gifts helps serve others. Using our gifts helps build the church. Using our gifts creates unity and faith and knowledge. Now these are the points from Ephesians 4 here. Using our gifts leads the church towards maturity. Using our gifts helps lead the body towards receiving the wholeness, the whole measure of Christ. We really become a problem for the family when we don't know what our gift is and when we don't put it into service. Remember what I said? Another problem here as well. Through our service to each other, we experience real love. So if all of this is possible through the exercising of our gifts, that we serve others, that we build up the church, that we grow in unity and faith and knowledge, that we lead or help lead the church towards maturity, that we come to a place where we receive the fullness of Christ. If all of that is true, on top of that experiencing real love, if all of that is true when we use our gifts, then is it possible that when we fail to use our gifts, the opposite is true? I believe it is. We become part of the problem. We really do. But it's so easy to become part of the solution. We just discover how God has blessed us, and we do it. And because God has blessed us in that area or particular areas, we do it with strength. We do it with joy. We do it with efficiency. We do it effectively. We do it successfully. Isn't that what you want in your life? It's certainly what I want in my life. Let's wrap it up here. Remember,
We began this lesson with pointing out that each one of us has been blessed with some spiritual gifts. Each one of us has been gifted by God. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. The point, as I wrap up the lesson this morning, is quite simply this. If you haven't been baptized yet, you're not one of the each ones that God has gifted. If you haven't been baptized yet, you're not one of the each ones that God has gifted. Your journey to discover how God has blessed you has to start with your obedience to the gospel. You know, one of the things that we love about a new year is that it's a new beginning, right? It's a new beginning in so many ways. Remember when you were kids and you were playing football out in the backyard? I was always a terrible kicker. And I don't know how many times my little team, my neighborhood team, was in position and we had to punt again. And I always wanted to be a good kicker, so I would always volunteer to do it. And I'd get the ball hiked to me and I'd flub it off my foot again. And you know what I would do right away? Do over! If you called a do-over quick enough, you could do it again. Well, today, we get a do-over. It's called Happy New Year. But I want you to realize that God always provides a do-over. Maybe you have been baptized and you haven't been faithful, and you need to start 2012 in a new direction. If that's you, then come forward today while we stand and sing and get your do-over. Or if you are here today and you need to be obedient to that gospel, don't lose this opportunity to start your year debt-free of sin. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?